Oco Golf Academy joins us to discuss it. Oco, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
A lot of people have the Americans favored, although the favorite doesn't always win in this tournament. I guess, first of all, let's look at the course they're playing at. And do you just think the layout of the course, does that change approaches or do you think it fits a certain team style overall better?
Well, what they've done with this course, and they've been talking about it, you know, trying to set it up so it is an advantage for the U.S., and you made a comment that they're favored. I don't know who made that comment. It's probably the U.S. said that. But they're setting up the course so that it's a little bit longer for the par fives, because the guys on the U.S. team are a little bit longer off the tee other than Rory McIlroy. And so, you know, they'll have a better chance to reach in the par fives and two, where they played in Europe last time. The par fives were a little shorter, and so the Europeans had a better opportunity to try to hit some of the par fives and two. So there is a little bit of an advantage, you know, when you can set up the course, being the home track, the way would be best suited for your team, for sure.
Well, what's interesting, and I know that, you know, this is obviously on different tours and different events, but going into this, they took the last event score of every player for Europe, and then the last event total score for the American team. The Americans, all 12 of them, combined to be -8, right? And Justin Johnson, he was -5, along with Brooks Koepka, but their whole team was -8. The Europeans were -116. So you can make the argument that even though, you know, guys like Andy Sullivan and Matt Fitzpatrick and Thomas Peters don't necessarily grab the same attention as a lot of the guys on Team USA, they might be a hotter group coming in.
Oh, definitely. You know, they won the FedEx Cup. They won the Tour Championship. They won the Masters. You know, they've won a lot of majors. You know, it's Team Europe is, they're strong. They always, you know, they seem to come in as the underdogs, because USA, they seem to like to talk and, you know, the best team assembled ever, all this kind of stuff. They've got their task force team trying to figure out the, you know, solution and how to win. And Sergio Garcia basically summed it up. Let the golf on the course do the talking, not your mouth. And, you know, they take the approach, I think, the appropriate way. They come in under the radar. They're not talking the trash talk. And, you know, they just seem to work together as a team and play in these formats just much better than the U.S. for whatever reason.
Well, absolutely. And, Blair, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think everybody's talked themselves into a championship, have they?
Have they talked themselves into a championship? Well, I think a lot of, you know, that's what they're trying to do. Is Team USA is trying to talk themselves into the championship and before it even gets started.
Yeah. When you look at that European team, you know, McIlroy, Rose, Stenson, and Jason brought up that statistic. I wasn't aware of it. Old Lee Westwood, captain's pick. They've got a lot of guys who can play. It doesn't matter what you say. You can set this course up any way you want, and there may be an edge to the Americans based statistically. These guys all can play.
Oh, well, they're there for a reason, right? And, you know, there is that little bit of a team spirit and you know, being able to play with each other and get your mojo going, get your vibes going, whatever it is. And once you get that going, that train starts rolling. I tell you, it's you play on a lot of emotions, and Europe seems to, you know, they seem to like the team atmosphere. And I think the U.S., you know, they formed this task force team. I just kind of chuckle when I hear that. But, you know, they seem to be really putting a lot of effort into figuring out why they're losing and what they can do. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, this year, I think U.S. has the edge this time for sure.
Blair Oco from the Blair Oco Golf Academy. So it gets going on Friday, right, with the matches, the foursome or the four-ball matches. For people who maybe don't understand that, what's the rule for the four-ball matches?
Well, the four ball is you got your partner, and you'll either play I believe it's alternate shot the first go round, and then they'll play a best ball format, and then they'll play their individual matches. So the four ball is when everybody they all play their shot, and then they alternate shots.
Interesting. When is there one you favor? Is there one more difficult to play?
The alternate shot is the most difficult, for sure. Best ball is go ahead and you play your best shot, not a scramble. Best ball is when if Jason and I are partners, he'd hit his shot, I'd hit my shot, and we'd play the hole out and we'd take our best score. Alternate shot is when he would drive and then I'll play the next shot. So there's a little bit more pressure on that type of format, and that's what they call it, like also known as a Scotch two ball, but they call it alternate shot. That format is pretty tough because, when you hit a bad shot, you look at your partner, and you don't want to say sorry because there's no sorry in this stuff. You try your best. Everybody tries their best. Everybody knows that you're there to try your best, and bad shots happen. But when you do hit that errant shot, because I played in that format before, you do feel bad for the guy that has to chip it out of the trees or out of the rough or what have you. So I think that's the toughest format.
Well, and I'm sure then the guy who has to chip it out, he doesn't want to get rattled at his own teammate either. So he's got to stay composed because he's like, I'm not even getting a shot. I just got to chip it out. And then now I got to rely on this guy who just shanked one into the trees to try to get it back in the green. So I'm sure it's a different mental challenge. Now, you watch a lot of these. Why is Sergio Garcia seemingly better in this style than he is heads up?
He made a comment a few months ago. He says, I got to get my game going here because I want to play in this. He just loves this type of competition. He's that team guy. He cheers on his teammates. He's a guy you want to have on your team because he's positive. He's an all-around team guy. He'll eventually be a captain of this. He'd be a captain of a hockey team, for example, or a soccer team because he's just that positive and this type of stuff just gets him fired up. And I think there's a little bit of I want to go kick those U.S. butts, I think that's his kind of attitude. I know he got the bump steer from a lot of fans over the years with his waggle, and he was kind of always teased, and so I think he just motivates him just to really drive it home, and he's proven it over the years. He loves this event, and he rises to the occasion, and he doesn't talk the talk, and he lets his golf do the talk.
Blair, you touched on the course and how it's set up a little bit longer to favor the Americans. Hazeltine, I look at it now, three different holes, although not back-to-back, like that one goofy setup we talked about a few months ago, at over 600 yards. Now, is this something that we're going to see at more and more courses, be they PGA events? Can't imagine seniors, but that's 600 plus on three different holes.
I know it's they're getting bigger and stronger, just like in hockey. And I'm just looking at the golf course right now, and when these guys are they're bombing it 350, like Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, and in some cases if they have a little downwind, like 370 is not out of the question. Mm-hmm. So it's they're just trying to you gotta do something, change the equipment or change the golf courses. I think changing the ball and maybe changing and adjusting the equipment would be a lot cheaper rather than adding more yardage and construction to the golf courses to make them longer. But they gotta do something to the game, I guess. They don't want these guys shooting 63, 64. I don't know. I kind of like when they shoot and make birdies. Why do you want to make it longer? Make it more difficult? Aren't we supposed to be making this game a little bit easier? Well, yeah, the pros, sure. They're good, and they're going to be good whatever style course they play. But, when you start lengthening all the golf courses, then, people go out and they go, I want to play the tip tees, and that's where the pros play. I want to size myself up against on how the pros go. So, I don't know if they're going in the right direction in lengthening the game and making it more difficult. It's a tough game as it is, and whether it's a four, what was that one hole in the just the last major where it was 200 and 90 yards. Guys were making bogeys on it. So you don't have to have the length to be difficult. If you just strategically place bunkers and have some rough, a nice short par 4, 310 yards can be just as difficult.
Blair Elko from the Blair Elko Golf Academy joins us, breaking down the Ryder Cup. Of course, Europe taking on the Americans starts this weekend. Friday finishes up all the single matches on Saturday. So let's say you are a captain, and I know that Woods is an assistant captain in this one. Do you see certain teams, if you're on America, guys that you would pair together on Friday?
Well, on they're talking about statistically who would be paired up with the best. I think in this situation, you got to kind of feel, does Patrick Reed sit well with Phil Mickelson? You know, does his attitude, like Keegan Bradley and Phil played really well together. They seem to have a good relationship, just like Steve Stricker and Tiger Woods for years. They seem to have a good mix. They tried Phil and Tiger one year, and that was they got their butts kicked. So, as a captain, that is tough. And if you're the one making the call and not discussing this with your team, I think you're making a big mistake. I think you need to pull some of the veterans off the team. You need to sit them down and say, okay, guys, okay, who's getting the good vibes? So what do you think? Will Patrick Reed play well with Jordan Spieth? No, don't do that. They can't stand each other. They don't even talk to each other in the locker room. Oh, I didn't know that. So you need to know the insights of that stuff, right? And, sure, you got to say, well, put that all aside and be professional. But you know what? When you're playing this type of game and you got to play 4.5 hours with this guy and probably the next round, you got to make sure you got a good working relationship and that you guys get good vibes off each other, because that plays so huge in the Ryder Cup. Team Europe does it well. U.S., I think they're starting to figure it out. And forget about the statistics. Go with what your vibe is with that playing partner.
Blair, one last one for me, and got to touch on it, even though it's not Ryder Cup specific. Golf is a huge part of your life, and in the last week, Arnold Palmer passed away. There's reference to him on the Ryder Cup website. His legacy, his impact, what he meant to the game in your mind?
Everything. The game is where it's at today because of him. And I had an opportunity to meet him, and I just a missed opportunity to meet him in Bay Hill back when I was playing the Spalding Space Coast Tour, and a bunch of my friends met him, but I was unfortunate to meet him, and I regret that day. And he's just been the game is, like I said, it's where it's at today because our Mr. Palmer, and that's the extra man on the U.S. team this year for the Ryder Cup. And that's why I'm saying U.S. is going to win it because of Arnold Palmer, and they're going to do it for him.
Interesting. Now, Arnold Palmer, Blair, I'm not sure how much you saw of him play live in his career, maybe just at the tail end of it.
I know you saw him a lot.
Yeah, well, Oaks, let's be honest, you're, I think, 2 decades older than I am, so let's not get ourselves here. But when you like, just the legacy that he had on golf, and I know that they've put off his funeral and celebration until Tuesday. He didn't want to be a distraction for the Ryder Cup, which just shows where he believes he stands in the golf world. He's never above anything. But what made Palmer so great as a golfer?
As a golfer? Oh, well, I think, his passion and love for the game. He started at a young age, and his dad got him started and, kind of pushed him in the right direction. And what made him such a great, great player, just the person he was and his love for the game and the desire to succeed. And he was, the fans loved him. And he, he made a comment about signing a signature and an autograph. And he always said, you make sure when you sign an autograph, that person needs to read it. And he did that. I have his autograph on my wall here. And you can read it, Arnold Palmer, plain as day. So, there's so many things that made him great. And I think with, his relationships with his fans kind of fueled him to make him better. And Arnie's Army, and there'll be nobody like him ever. Tiger Woods was close, But Arnie's Arnie, and there'll be nobody like Mr. Palmer.
Blair, we appreciate it. So you are taking the Americans to win the Ryder Cup. We hope it's close, and a lot of people are hoping like a Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy battle on Sunday might be fun.
That would be perfect.
Blair, appreciate your time.
Okay, guys.